Yay, you're here. I'm Lisa Whittle, and welcome to the Jesus Over Everything interview show, affectionately known as Joe's Friday Friend, where everyone I sit down and talk with is either an old or a new friend of mine. Well, I'm sitting down literally in my own house for the interview show today with Mike Willen Smith, otherwise known to many of you as The Nester, beloved home decorating coach and coiner of the phrase, "It doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful." Mike Willen has written best-selling books and is a true boss babe if I've ever known one, but she is exactly the person you think if you follow her on the internet. She's warm, incredibly wise and witty, and she's my in-real-life friend who I sometimes visit for her iced coffee drink I enjoy so much. She always takes the pressure off, and she always has amazing ways for us to not only enjoy our own home, but also say welcome home to others as well with her ease and style, and that's exactly what she shares with us in her new book by that same name, Welcome Home. You'll love our conversation. So fun, so perfect to help you decorate and host in the coming seasons. Here we go now with my friend, Mike Willen. Mike Willen, is this the most awkward or the most fun thing, me interviewing you? I cannot decide.
It's a little of both, Lisa.
I know, it is.
Yeah, if these microphones were in our face, it would be fun. But all of a sudden, I have sweat in my armpits. Why?
I know. Well, because the funny thing is, what the people need to know is we've been sitting, hanging out, chatting for an hour and a half in my house. So we just now but we stuck the microphones in front of us, and now all of a sudden we're acting weird. You're sitting up straighter.
If I sit low, I can't reach the microphone.
This is true. Okay. Well, before we go any further, I've got to remind my listening friends about the Dwell app, the Bible audio app. It is amazing. Remember, we've got a free 7-day trial and then 20% off if you decide you love it, which I know you're going to. Go to lisawhittle.com/dwell, or you can go to the show notes if you didn't get that. But listen, go download that Dwell app. It is incredible. Okay, Mike Willen, what should we talk about today? Because really, the world is our oyster.
Lisa. Oh my goodness.
Well, or maybe we shouldn't talk about a lot of things, but the truth is we are real friends. So we could talk about our kids. We could talk about our husbands. We could talk about any of your farm animals.
We talk about all of that.
Like, yeah.
Lisa is my sit on my sofa with the shoes off. Both of us have dirty hair friend.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. It is a safe place for me. You're a safe place for me. And also, you're like a person that comes to my rescue. So I want people to know that. So this is the way that I think about you often. When I need to make a big girl decision, and part of that is I want to ask your advice because you're super smart. So it's like, I want to ask you advice. Also, I know I'm going to be safe with you. Like, we're going to sit on your couch. We're going to have greasy hair. You're going to be fine. I never feel like I have to say, hey, I don't look cute today. So I love that. So that's amazing. But also, one of the things I love about you is that you are a person that kind of reminds me that I'm a grown woman and that I can own my space. I just wonder, have you always played that role with people? Have you always been sort of, because I look at that as being honestly a little bit naturally confident. And when I look at you and kind of what you do for us with house stuff, is you help people be confident in their space.
Oh, wow. Well, I think that's such a good question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that. I will say, I feel like I always take on, because I'm a big sister, I've always felt like a big sister. In everything in life, I feel like a big sister. So if we're talking about work or whatever, I don't know if that means I'm bossy. I guess it depends on who I'm talking with. So maybe that's the role I feel like I have with a lot of things.
Yeah. And I think it's one, though, that this is what I think is hard, though, about that is some people just come off bossy, right? Because, I mean, I like to give people counsel, too. We're going to put it that way.
Oh, I love it when you give me counsel. For real.
I love it. You know, I love to do that. Because for me, it's a part of my caring nature is saying, like, hey, I want to help your life work. So I love that. But some people just come off bossy. But when you're talking about your house, when you're sort of counseling us or giving us, helping us to be confident in our space, you don't come off that way. So I feel like it comes out of a true desire for people to not think it has to be perfect to be beautiful and all the things that you do.
I think that's true. I think when we feel like we can relate to someone, we trust someone because their life's not perfect either. They have things that are a mess too. Maybe they've learned from their mess. Then we feel like we can trust them. Like, oh, first of all, they actually have kind of been there and they understand. Maybe they got out of whatever that was, or they're dealing with it, or they've worked through it. That gives you the confidence to trust someone. That's why I trust you in things as well, because we have kids the same age. We kind of have the same kind of work.
Yeah.
Everyone needs friends like that. Everyone needs bosses like that in their life.
Yeah, it's so true. Okay, so here is one of the reasons why I think what you help us with is so important, because I think that fear and intimidation of things like hosting, right, gets in the way of us really loving people well. And we talked Wednesday on the show about loneliness. Here's the thing, Michael, and people are lonely. I think the quarantine made us even more lonely in some ways. I mean, some of us haven't gotten to see our families for a long time. Some of us were quarantined alone. You know, loneliness is real. And so we need to see people. We want to see people. I think we're afraid right now to host people. But one of the things that I think is super important is that we get over our fear and intimidation of welcoming people into our home, because people are desperate to be loved and welcomed in. Do you think that it is the fear and intimidation that causes us not to have people over?
I think a lot of times it's the high expectations that we have on ourselves for perfection.
Yeah.
For this is the way you're supposed to do it. Or this is the way I saw my mom host and she was really good at it. Mm. Or this is the type of home situation or your circumstances have to look like XYZ before. And so I think a lot of us are waiting for better circumstances, for things to calm down a little bit, for our home to be in a better place, for us to feel like we're in a better place, 1,000 things like that. But I think you hit it on the head. It is that truly is still fear, but I think it's a fear of not being good enough, not being ready enough, not being really perfect.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I wouldn't mind people coming over more. Now, I'm not a natural hostess, I'll be honest. I mean, I'm just not. I don't think in those terms. I want to think in those terms, but I don't. My husband, you know, because you know him well, he loves to have people and bring more people, like all the time. Bring the people. Where are the people, you know? Right. But for me, I'm afraid, like, I'm going to be tired and want to go to bed and there's people in my house. I'm just being real with you.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing is, I don't want people to come over if I have my laundry piles out. And that is very real. So I just think it is getting over sometimes that perfectionism. And I honestly don't exactly know how to do that. I mean, in my head, I say, just have people over. Mm-hmm. But is that really a possibility, you know?
Well, I think we all have our own standards. Yours might be the laundry pile. I have had many of people over with laundry piles, but I don't want a dirty toilet.
Yeah.
We all have our own threshold.
I don't want that either.
And I think that's fine to have that. But I think to recognize that, because if we can speak that, then we have a line that we draw. Mm. But I think if we don't really talk with ourselves about what that is, we just wait for later. Well, the next house or the next summer or whatever it is. And stepping back in life, I don't think any of us want to be the people that never get to have anyone over. I'm an introvert as well. And I know for me, part of having someone over is because it's important when the person comes over for me to connect with them. Like, why have someone over if you're just going to cook them dinner or sit around and be exhausted? So part of me having someone over is making sure that I am in the right mindset so I'm not going to be exhausted. So that might mean that I first recognize that's how God made me, and that's okay. I'm an introvert. Maybe that my threshold for having people over is like once a month, where my husband's just like yours. Like, he would be thrilled if 10 people were waiting when he came home from work.
Yeah.
Surprise, we're all eating dinner every night. Like, that's great. But I can't do that. And so instead of being hard on myself, like, well, then something's wrong with me. No. Just recognizing that and knowing, what would that look like for me? What does a life that honors hosting or that values hosting within my personality? And that might mean once a month.
Yeah.
I have a really meaningful time just with another couple that comes over.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think that's so important just to kind of define what that looks like for each of us.
Yeah. And I think, you know, not to get too deep, but here's the thing. I do think it is a matter of, are we going to be about ourselves, or are we going to really love people well? Because if we understand humans right now, right? And if we really want to do like what Jesus says, which is loving people and reaching people, inviting them into our homes is a part of that. I mean, it really, truly is. You know, one of the things, Michael, and for me is I don't have a ton of confidence sometimes in my cooking. Now, I've gotten a lot better, but I'm not like a gourmet cook, right? So I want like this perfect salmon dish, you know, or whatever. And I think I got a pretty good recipe, but I want it to be really good before I have people over. And I want all the things right and all of those aspects of it. But one of the things I love about you is you're like, hey, buy a store-bought cake and then decorate it beautifully with like these gorgeous flowers on top. And by the time you're done with it, it looks insanely incredible. So, but I think some of us don't think like you do. Like you have this really creative brain like that. So is Welcome Home, your amazing new book with the most gorgeous pictures and all the things, is it going to help us that don't naturally think of doing it sort of the easy way, I think?
Yeah, I hope. What I want is it to kind of bridge the gap between the person who I love to cook and I love to host and I love having people over and I'm so happy with my home and still be encouraging for them. But also the person that feels like, well, I haven't really hosted yet, but I kind of feel guilty about that, but I actually really want to, but I don't feel my house is in the right place. I don't feel like my cooking's up to par. I think there is a middle road there. And that's where I like to come in is that, well, first of all, you can have people over without even having a meal. Like, it's not about the meal.
Okay, let's pause there because I think that's really key. I think, especially in the South, I think we feel like if we invite someone over, it's got to be somehow about food.
So during these uncertain times, it is perfect. We had you and Scotty over for drinks and we're like, hey, come over for drinks. We'll sit outside. Well, I think it rained and we went inside. But like now is your perfect opportunity to have someone from church, your neighbors or whoever over for drinks. So we always specify what the food option is going to be and if we're going to be inside or outside so they can dress accordingly. You don't even, all you have to do is make sure toilet's clean. You don't have to do anything in your house.
I like this.
You just sit outside.
I like it.
Everyone, it makes it so easy. And I like to do that. I call it like the last minute invite. So you don't plan that a weeks ahead of time.
Yeah.
You just, that way the expectations are low. Because when you think, I know when I think about some of the best community times I've had with other people, some of the best connection I've had with people in my house have been when we lived in a neighborhood and in the backyard, someone just came home from Taekwondo. They hop the fence, they come over and we sit around and we watch the kids play on the slip and slide or whatever it is. And we just hang out because expectations were low. Maybe I go inside and grab some chips and they bring some drinks over and that's it. No one had to worry. No one is busy chopping and serving and heating and all of those things. We just get to focus on the conversation. And those are the best times. And so to say, well, how do we recreate that? Well, I think a last minute invitation, texting someone, hey, can you and so come over tonight? Bring the kids. We'll do s'mores. The end. Expectations are so low.
Yeah.
And it fully focuses you on just the hangout time. So I think that's such an easy way to start. And even for, I think even for the person who loves to cook, loves to, you know, feel super confident in their home. I know I love to cook, but when we have people over, I have found that if I try to cook everything, even things I'm really familiar with, it really takes my attention away from the people themselves.
Yeah.
So I will, my rule is I'm allowed to make two things homemade and everything else is store-bought or others brought. So don't let yourself make more than that. Even if you can, I just think it puts the focus, it puts your, you know, you're worried about things burning or pulling stuff out of the fridge. And I want to be present with the people in my house.
That is so smart. So your rule for yourself, you make two things, the rest is store-bought or brought.
Or brought, if they want to bring it or... And store-bought, I mean, like, we'll either get whatever, the pre-made salad at Costco, or maybe if there's a restaurant I really like, we'll pick it up from there. But I am not cutting and sweating and tiring myself out all day long, slaving over that. I'll do that for something else.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that, especially if it's like a new friend that's coming over and you get a little nervous, like, oh, I hope we connect.
Yeah.
I hope it's not weird. And so I want to save my presence for the people, for the conversation. And a red flag for me, if I'm having someone over and I am stressed about my house, I'm worried about my hair, I'm worried about what I'm going to wear, that is a big red flag. It almost tells me I need to cancel, because when you have people over, the focus is about them.
Yep.
So until you're at that point. And so that's why I also think it's important to talk about decorating our homes, because the truth is we can be the most spiritual person in the world, godly women, but if we are uncomfortable in our home, if we are not confident in our home, if we don't have a place to sit and a place to put a coffee cup, it is really hard to welcome people into our home. I don't think it's materialistic. I don't think anything like that. We need to create a home that we feel comfortable in, that we feel comfortable opening up. Does that mean you have to spend all the money in the world? No, there are so many tips and tricks. Let me get into that. But I think it is a high calling to make it a priority to feel good about the place where you live and to feel good about the place where you are inviting people in. If your home can't first minister to you and your family that lives there, how in the world do you think it's going to be able to partner with you to do that for others?
That is so true. This is exactly why I go over to your house and I say, boss me and give me advice, because it's so wise. No, it's really true. And you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the fact of when I go over to someone's house and they're cutting and sweating, like you gave that example, cutting and sweating. When I go over to someone's house and they're scurrying around, cutting and sweating, I'm automatically uncomfortable. Like I automatically am like, oh, I feel like I have to match their level or
right, like,
sweat.
Did we cut really?
Like I need to cut, I need to sweat, or, you know, or it just makes my anxiety level go up high to match theirs. You know what I mean? Whereas if I come over and someone's like, oh, we'll get to the dinner in a minute, or, you know, now given if you invite me over and the dinner, you don't serve dinner for 4 hours,
right,
then
I'm
that's, there's a fine line, right? Please don't do that, because I'll be starving. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? When someone is not overly obsessed about the dishes when we finish eating or whatever, I mean, I want to pitch in and help or whatever, but I want it to be about us. Like if I'm coming over, let's hang out.
Yeah.
And I would rather go out to dinner and then us go back to your house for coffee, or come to my house for coffee, where we don't have to clean up. Because I do feel like it gets in the way. Anyway, those are just my preferences.
My rule, we
it's
don't
not
clean
about
up.
Me.
We do not clean up when people are there. We put it all in the dish, all in the sink, and walk away. Because, who wants to clean up while people are there?
Yeah.
That's a waste of time. I want to hang out with the people. And really, when people are at your house and they try to help you clean up, it's worthless.
Yeah.
It's a waste of everyone's time. Chad and I can do it in like 7 minutes after people leave.
I feel like I've just had a therapy session. I've just gotten all my pet peeves about going over or whatever. Thank you, Michaelyn, as always. So one of the things that I love about this book, Welcome Home, is that it is really kind of half and half decorating for the seasons and then half hosting. And you really dive into both of those, which to me is so great, because you get the best of both worlds. We get to talk about both of those things. And of course, with all things decorating and seasonal, I love it, because I'm like, I can get Michaelyn's advice all year long about what to do in every single season, which is so rich and people love you for. But also, before I leave the hosting piece, you know, I do want to say that in this day and time where, you know, who knows what's going to open up when, right? I do think more and more we are going to be visiting people's homes, going to people's homes. I know right now we still are maybe a little bit leery to go to people's homes, but I do think that's going to even increase more and more and more, as maybe businesses that we once loved or we would go to are now going to be closed. We're going to be having home church. We're going to be doing things like that. We are going to people's homes more and more. So to me, the hosting piece is more important than ever. I'm thinking about decorating in the seasons, okay? Personally, what season do you think is the hardest to decorate and maybe and or host through? And how have you learned to overcome that yourself?
Well, I think that's a really good question. And I think we need to define decorate.
Okay.
Because I don't have a bin of summer stuff. You know, I think a lot of us are like, well, I decorate for the Christmas season. So in this book, we kind of redefine and we talk about getting our home ready for each season so that our home feels like it's in tune with creation. So I know we've probably all walked into a house, like say it's July 1st, it's 100 degrees outside. We go in a house and it's dark. and there's heavy fabrics everywhere. And it's almost like the house thinks it's December.
Yeah.
Like, excuse me, does your house realize it's 100 degrees? And so about just what are the small changes that we can do to kind of bring the outside in and recognize the passing of time, the perennialness of home, the rhythms that we go through. So it's not necessarily about like go to Hobby Lobby and get the seasonal decor for your mantle that represents. No, it's about thinking about what seasonal supplies serve your family. And so that's why it can kind of fix the, well, I can't decorate for fall yet because it's still 100 degrees. No, no. It's thinking about what rhythms happen in fall. If you have kids, maybe they're going back to school or you're homeschooling. And so that changes. Usually the end of August, you need your home to function in a different way. And so thinking about how you're going to use your home, and the seasons usually are a trigger for that. So we need different things in our home for each season, and it serving us through that. And so what I found is, first, if I work through the five senses, because Lisa, you know how you'll look on Instagram, like, okay, it's fall on Instagram. You see someone, they have 83 pumpkins on their front porch. Yep. You're like, that's beautiful. And then you go buy 83 pumpkins and you hate yourself because then you have to store 83 pumpkins and you spent $200 and you have all these round pumpkins to put in bins for 10 months out of the year. Right. You're like, well, there's got to be an easier way. Now, I think that's beautiful. And if you want to do that, more power to you. But there is another way. If you don't want to do that, you can still have a fall home without feeling like you have to buy 100% of fall stuff and focus only on the visual. And so that was like the way I was stuck in is, I love the season. So I had to go buy lots of spring decor and redecorate my house from top to bottom. I don't do that anymore. I start with, you know, the scent of fall. I start with the feel of fall, the texture, whatever it is through each season. So whereas maybe I might not have summer decor, but my house feels different in the summer than it does in the spring, based on the fact that, well, first of all, my kids are home in the summer. So we're using our house differently. We have a pool in the backyard. So we got towels everywhere. We have our hats because we're on a property and you have to have a hat on if you go outside. We have different dishes that we serve. And so different, you know, watermelons out and the board is out to cut fruit. Like, just different things are happening in our home based on the season. And what I've also found is, if I can kind of work through the senses for each season, and I feel like my home is ready for each season. So say it is fall and I have maybe some furrier textured throws out, and I have stuff ready to make a fire in the fireplace, and I have a fall scented candle, and maybe I'm playing my fall playlist. I don't need that visual stuff. I don't rely on that as much, and my home can feel super fall-like without having to invest in a bunch of stuff I have to store away.
This is so smart, because I have to tell you, like, every kind of Eastery season, I'm always like, I don't want to put bunnies out.
Right. You know? And you don't have to.
And this makes me feel so happy, because I'm like, I don't have to put bunnies out. Yes. I really, you know, because I feel guilty, because I'm like, I feel like my kids in a way have grown up and they're like, my mom doesn't, you know, honor the seasons well, I guess, you know, because she doesn't put out super, I don't even know how to define it, but like kitsy things for, you know, different holidays or seasons.
Right.
But now what you're saying makes a ton of sense. It's like, you can still give your house that feel without being so overt about it. And look, if someone wants to put bunnies out, do it. I mean, but you're saying for the person who wants the tone, who wants the feel, you can do it a different way. And I love that, because you could marry those things. You could put bunnies and do it, you know, the scents, or you could just do scents and do different things. But you really make it, to me, it's just using your house well. Right. It's really smart housing, I guess you'd say. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking, this should be super encouraging for someone who's, maybe they have a house that's, say they have a house that's older, and they look on Pinterest and they see like all these white wall houses, right? Because that's what we always see. But they have a dark paneled wall house.
Yeah.
And they don't have the money right now to paint their house.
Right.
And it's July.
Right.
And they're like, oh my goodness, my house is so dark and it's July. But, you know, you have alternatives in your book for even that kind of a house to still make it feel like summer.
Totally. I think it's easy when we see, you know, it's spring and Anthropology shows the picture with the pink sofa, and then the fall, the yellow sofa. And you think, oh, am I supposed to buy a new sofa for every season or new art? No. And so we do. We honor what we've started with. And I know I've had homes that felt, every home kind of works more with a particular season. Like, I feel like my current home is very summery and very fall. Both of those seasons work. It's just easy. They just kind of feel natural. And so to honor what colors you're already working with and then how that works with, say it is Easter. Well, maybe you'll get some white pillow covers. So you just unzip them, put them on, you know, get them on Etsy, get them at Home Goods. They don't take up a lot of room when you store them. So switching out small things like that, maybe you'll go out and cut daffodils or bring some tulips in or get some grocery store flowers, just different. We really walk through everything, every little step. Just think about it. If your kids come home from school and it's spring and you have made a yummy potato salad and you've made bread with rosemary that just sprouted from the garden, you have your spring playlist playing, you have a candle that smells like whatever feels like fall to you. So that's, or spring to you.
Right.
So that's the beauty of it. Like, if you begin to think about it, it gets really fun because you think, well, what scent? So when you go to the candle store, which one smells like spring? Which one smells like winter? Which one smells like summer and fall? And you'll begin to identify. So if they walk in, even if you have no decor, if you have music going, if you have things out in your home that cater to the senses, then all of a sudden they'll be like, oh, it feels so springy in here. It tastes so springy. It smells so springy. It sounds so. Now, they might not say that. They just know it feels like a season. It feels different. And they recognize that. And that works with every season. And we don't have to have artwork on our mantle that says, you know, it's fall, y'all.
Yeah.
You can have that, but we don't have to be so, what's the word when you're like on the nose?
No, this is so smart. It's like creating the atmosphere.
Yes.
And they feel it and they sense it. And that's what we all really want. I think we all really want everyone to feel something when they walk in our home. And one thing I love about you, Michaelyn, is you always save me money. Like you always save me money. It's like shop your house or, you know, use what you have or, you know, just buy the candle or use the things in the yard or whatever, you know. And to me, I do think we overthink it sometimes and we try too hard.
Right.
And you're saying don't try so hard.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're thinking, you know what, it's going to be fall, but we don't have pumpkins yet. Maybe you just need some rusty orange and some reds in your house. Shop your house.
Yeah.
So walk around the house, pull out the books that are orange and red, pull out maybe the tablecloth, maybe your kids' pottery. And so what I'll do is I'll shop the house and whatever colors I'm craving, because I don't have orange walls. I don't have an orange sofa. But if I'm craving that, I'll look for those, pull them to the forefront, maybe put them on the shelf or the hutch or put them on the coffee table. And what that does is it brings in that feeling that I'm missing without me having to buy new stuff that is, you know, one season oriented that I have to store. And what I found is seasonal decorating, recognizing the seasons, seasonal supplies, whatever you want to call that, really goes hand in hand with hosting. Because, well, first of all, a lot of us do host seasonally. We're hosting celebrations. We're hosting a baby shower. We're hosting 4th of July or New Year's Eve or Thanksgiving. When our home is ready for each season, it is automatically like almost 100% done to host those celebrations within each season. And so it is such a natural, it's a very slow process. So we really, you know, pay attention to nature. It's not like whatever day fall comes, I don't know, what is it, like September 20th or something. It's not like we go from green leaves to yellow leaves the next day. It is such a slow process. And I love that in our home. Like sometimes we're recording this and it's mid-August.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still a million degrees. We're sweating like dogs, but there are seasonal changes that have happened outside. The corn's all tall. It's all turning brown. The weeds on the side of the road are yellow. Like if I didn't know, if I woke up from a coma and drove down my country road, I would know that it is August just by looking at the sky, just by taking cues. It's still as hot as it always has been, but things are changing. My kids are going back to school. You know, I'm beginning to want to cook differently. And so paying attention to that has really helped me slowly. Okay, so we're done with vacation. I'm going to put the beach bags away.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the games away that my kids have been playing with during the summer. And so it helps me slowly make transitions in my house. And one of the things that I always do is first edit. Like no one ever talks about editing with decorating. We all talk about like, well, you need to buy this and this is what you need to add in and you need a sofa and a lamp there, which you might. But it is so helpful to first walk around your home and say, what are we finished with after summer? And yes, again, I think we get so stuck on like, well, it's still hot here or it's not snowing here. Well, guess what? Lisa and I never get snow where we live.
Exactly.
But we still celebrate winter and we still want to feel like we have a wintry home. And so really, at the end of each season, I just walk around and think, well, what can I put away. Mm-hmm. Sometimes having a quieter place for a few months, even if I wanted a pumpkin now, I don't think the farmers markets are really selling pumpkins yet, but that's okay. I can still kind of transition into fall. And I really enjoy that transition from season to season. It is not a Saturday afternoon where I have to get 100 bins out, work myself to a sweat, and just so I can have a house that feels like fall. We still have a house that feels like fall, but it happens slowly. It recognizes nature. It works with me. And instead of it being a burden for mom to do, it's a joy. I get to be creative. Maybe last year I had green pumpkins and this year I'm going to get orange pumpkins. Whatever it is, like, that is what makes it really fun. And it frees you up to try new things, I think.
Your home editing process, you're quieting the home, quieting the room. Like, it's changed my life because I think about it all the time. Like, really? I do. I'm like, what do I need to edit here? Or how do I quiet this or whatever? So I think your influence and it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. Like, a lot of those things that you have really come into yourself, that you've discovered yourself, have been so important for a lot of people. They've been really important for me. And I think through them because they've made my home more enjoyable. Mm. And I feel like, you know, Welcome Home is an extension of that and really dipping into the seasons. Because seasons for people, holidays for people, one of the reasons why I think we don't enjoy them the way we should is because of these stressors, the hosting, the decorating. And if we think about it, it's sort of insanity because those are the things that really shouldn't be stressing us, you know, and it's the perfectionism and all those kinds of things. So what you do and what you provide is honestly super important. So I appreciate it.
Well, it's true.
Okay. You live in a fixer upper.
We're 7 years into a fixer upper. Still fixing her up.
And of course, I've been over there many times, and it's fun to see the progress. I was thinking the other day about your white barn that used to be green, and I was there when it was green and saw it. It's been quite a metamorphosis. What do you wish you had known about a fixer-upper before you moved into it? Because look, there is somebody right now that's about to buy a fixer-upper.
Yeah.
Tell me one thing you wish you knew about a fixer-upper before you bought it.
Well, okay, I don't know if this is going to answer your question right, because I know you're looking for house things, but I'll tell you this.
No,
I wish that we would have planted trees the year we lived there.
Oh, perfect.
If you know you need trees,
okay,
plant them. Even if, like, it's better, I feel like it's better to not 100% sure, like, oh, this is exactly, because that's why you wait. You're not sure which tree or if it's going to go there. There are many places on our property, I think, if we just had a 12-foot high tree, wouldn't matter what kind of tree it was.
Okay.
This would have helped so much. And so I do regret not planting trees immediately the first year.
For shade? For what?
For tucking in buildings. So our property, so even if you have a home and it's like the landscaping has been ignored, if you feel like you're going to eventually have a tree, like, think of that. It's one thing to put, you can put flowers in at any time. You can put annuals and perennials.
But trees take a while.
But a tree takes a while. And so I think I just didn't think about that. So our barn is like grass up to the barn.
Right.
You know, and this fall, I'm like, we got to plant some evergreens. We got to have some, because it just looks really alone. Mm. And there's something about trees that soften up corners and tuck foundations in.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just brings some life. And so I know that's an exterior thing, but everything you answer is based on what's happening in real time. And so in real time, I'm like super regretting the fact that, why didn't we plant trees the year we lived here?
Yeah. But see, that is something people wouldn't know. I love that you answered like that, because I think other things people pick up on pretty quickly with the fixer up or whatever, this or that. And a lot of it has to do with what kind of fixer up they buy and all these things. And you could give 10 tips right now. But I love that you said this, because I think that landscaping is one of the things people ignore, right?
Yes.
I think, and in fact, because we've been talking about, you know, building a house or whatever, and one of the things the builder said is that people always cut landscaping out of their budget.
It's the last thing.
Because they run out of money.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, let's cut landscaping, you know? So I love that you said that. Trees do take a while, but trees do make, gosh, and you know,
they totally reshape the entire property.
But here's what's so cool about that. That is God's design. That's God's creation that he made, and we need it even for our buildings that we build, right?
And we have to be patient.
Oh,
the worst.
Yeah, we got to wait on those trees. Darn it. Okay, season four, we're doing this thing called One Great Thing. Mm. And we are talking about one great thing that we love. It could be an app, could be a cooking tip, could be a utensil you love, or something you just ordered off Amazon. Mm. I know I'm springing this on you. Lisa. And you have, I know that's annoying.
No,
when
I'll think of something.
Well, I know one great thing is your new garden that you love.
I do love that. And I'll tell you, Lisa, I'm the world's worst gardener because I only do it for the looks. I get so much joy.
I'm not mad about that.
I pick the tomatoes. I throw them back in the garden because I'm like, oh, it'll fertilize. Like, I don't care about, I don't do it for the food. I do it for the joy. And it is so enjoyable
okay.
to
you
watch
like to grow things.
I like to grow things. I love to watch things grow. And I think the garden feels like the opposite of the internet. And when your work is, whatever your work is, I think your hobby should feel like the opposite of that. For a long time, the opposite of the internet for me was cooking dinner, especially if I had the ingredients, if I was prepared, if I could pour a glass of wine and put a playlist on and chop. Like, it just was... all the internet juices in my body would flow out during the cooking time. And I feel like the same thing happens in the garden is that it just feels like the opposite of the other work I get to do. I come in, I don't like to wear gloves because I want my hands to get all gross and dirty. It just is like healing. It's something happens.
Honestly, you might have to teach me how to do a little garden because I think I need it just for my sanity.
Listen, you need to follow, everyone has to follow Nicole from Kitchen Garden Revival. Well, her on Instagram, it's called Gardenery Co.
Okay.
But she has a book called Kitchen Garden Revival. It changed my life.
We'll link that in the show notes. That's
amazing. Not as much as my own book changed
well,
my
right,
life.
Of course.
And your book, of course. But
after our books, they need to get that book. Absolutely. Okay, a few personal questions at the end, and these just make them real quick.
Okay.
They don't need to be long.
Okay.
What do you need in a friend?
Honesty.
Yes.
That's why I love you, Lisa.
Same.
Oh my gosh. If you have a friend who can't tell you the truth, is that even a friend?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Well, this might be answer that, then the next one. Huge potential friend turn off. Or is there besides honesty maybe? Or
well, someone who has to apologize a lot, like, oh, I didn't call you. Like, oh, I don't care. Like, you don't have to apologize for being human.
Yes.
So if someone apologizes to me for that, I feel like they're expecting me to apologize to them. I don't play those games, so that's real hard for
yeah.
me.
So it's gonna need to be no apologies either way.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Or over apologies
right.
for like things we don't need to apologize. Yeah. Love it.
This is why we get along.
I know
so
it
well.
Is. It is. We're so perfect for each other.
We
it's
are.
Not even funny. All right. What's a quality in people you wish you had?
I wish I was socially better. Like a conversationalist. Wish
yeah.
I had Annie Downs personality.
Oh,
you know what
who
I mean?
Doesn't?
Just,
yeah.
I know. The best personality in America.
Yeah.
Like, well, I could watch her and follow around and
yeah.
take notes and learn from her. But yeah, I just get awkward at times. That's okay.
I relate. Stranded on a desert island, who would you want with you and why?
Oh, my husband. I mean,
Chad is, he's very, besides being awesome, he's resourceful, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's
would, like,
to me who
make
you want
an axe and make a fire.
Yeah.
You would have everything you needed by nightfall.
Yeah. Got to have the husband. I would absolutely want Scotty too for the same reason. I feel like he'd be like, I found this thing over here. Now, he's not a fixer guy like Chad is, but he's a thinker.
Yeah.
So he would figure something
right.
out, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I totally get that.
What's the hardest thing you've found about parenting?
Mm.
I mean, there's a lot.
Gosh,
of them, but yeah.
That's good.
For you personally.
Well, I think for me, it's having boys who aren't, and I feel really close to my boys.
Yeah.
But they're not, every now and then I'll get in the car with them and their girlfriends talk and tell me everything. And I realize my kids are not like telling me.
Yeah.
They just aren't super chatty. And so I noticed it a lot more when they were younger. Like there was a lot of stuff. I just didn't know. Oh, my teacher had a baby. Oh, you know,
yeah.
just things that were happening.
Yep.
And you have to be okay with them having their own stuff and you not always knowing everything, especially as they get older. You're
yes.
just not gonna know everything.
That
so
is true.
It's interesting to realize that though.
Yeah, that is very true. And I think with boys more than anything, that is very true.
Mm.
They literally tell you nothing.
Yeah.
And then
your school could burn down. You're like, why? Does your school burn down 2 weeks ago?
Absolutely. And I do think when they have girlfriends, like you're talking about, when they have a serious girlfriend.
Oh, you're in the know.
That's when you that's
yes.
when you find stuff out.
Oh, totally.
So you're totally dumb if you don't become friends with their girlfriend
yes.
because that's when you're gonna finally find
absolutely.
Out about your kid. I mean, we've got this figured out finally. What's a book that's helped shape your spiritual life the most outside of the Bible?
Well, I don't know about the most, but I can answer most recently.
Yeah, most recently is good.
Is Andrew Peterson's book. It's beautiful. It's called Adorning the Dark.
Mm.
It's really, I mean, he wrote it from a singer-songwriter perspective, but yeah. We're all creative. And so that was just, it's a beautiful book. I highly recommend it.
I'll have to get that. Yeah, I have not. I've heard about it. Of course, I know he's brilliant. I have not read that, but that sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's so good.
We will link that in the show notes as well. Okay, friend. Gosh, time has flown. Time has flown by.
All right,
here is the last question, and I ask it of every single guest. Okay. I know you love Jesus. That's our core. We have so many things in common, but he's our main commonality. It's the last question I ask every guest. What is the last thing you'd say about Jesus if you could only say one more thing?
Oh my gosh, that's really impossible, Lisa.
I know.
So again, I think you answer that in light of like what's going on in your life and what's happening. So I would say, he's into process more than results.
He's into process more than results. That's so good. Gosh, that's so good. And that's so true. And I'm so grateful for that in my own life. Because boy, am I I call myself a feisty work in process. So
that's cute.
If that tells you anything, that may be one of my favorite answers so far. Oh. Friend, thank you.
Thank you.
For coming on my show. Now we'll just go hang out.
I can't wait. That's the best part.
Oh, I love you. Thanks for being on here. And again, just guiding us through this process of loving our homes and making it welcome.
Well, I'm really grateful to have a home, and I know you are as well. Thanks for welcoming me to your home and having such great hospitality and onto your podcast, all of it.
Love you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle. Hey, if you ever miss a show, you can always go to my podcast page on my website over at lisawhittle.com and search it up there. We have done so many now, I've almost lost count. You name it, we've probably covered it. And remember, if you subscribe on your podcast app on your phone, you won't miss a single show.